This is 10 dozen minutes of rechargeable batteries with Jick and Mr. Skullhead. I am Mr. Skullhead. Jick is in the house.
Jick is in the house.
Word. Jick was in the house when the house burned down.
I was. The roof was on fire, and we decided for some reason that we didn't need any water. And, yeah, the rest was history. How you doing, Mr. Skullhead?
Doing just great. I think for some reason now you're a little bit more quiet than I am, so if you can...
Am I?
Turn it up.
Let's see.
Perhaps
hey,
warm
man.
It up.
Is that freedom, Jick? We'll turn it up, man. Conveniently enough, my computer has decided... Skype did something jacked up to the system tray.
I think you can fix yours the same way I fixed mine, which is just to move the mic a little bit closer to you.
Aha. How about that?
That's much better.
Awesome. Didn't occur to me that there would be a non-software solution. That's why I'm a terrible engineer.
Yep.
So, the show's probably going to be kind of boring. Nothing really happened since last Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same old stuff.
Trivial updates.
Yeah. You know, obviously, just kidding about that. We got the whole Sorcerer's Quest thing, which I think it turned out pretty well. I'm pretty pleased with the relative ease of the rollout. The lag is kind of punching me in the soul. But, you know, now we're free to work on that. And we are also free to wear sunscreen. And to closet our clovers. Did you see that post by Shadowslight in the forums?
No, what was that about?
A little parody of the Baz Luhrmann, you know, version of that speech that wasn't Kurt Vonnegut.
Right.
By virtue of both... in the way of both telling you, Mr. Skullhead, and sort of telling everybody else, apparently we're still theoretically on for the whole Yale thing. We've been invited to speak at something at Yale sometime next year. So that's pretty exciting.
We get Holy
to
crap.
Tell people yeah. how you know. I don't exactly know what we're supposed to talk to college students about. hey, the best thing you'll ever do is not really pay any attention to college or the fact that you have a degree, and you know.
Yeah, so you had sent me a message saying that there was a college that was interested in us, and I had no idea it was Yale. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, really? I didn't. Yeah. Okay.
That's also that's the only way either of us would ever get inside Yale.
that's the truth. Didn't George W. Bush go to Yale?
Was he a Yale boy? Yeah, he was.
Wow, that'll be awesome. Maybe we can pee on something that he touched.
Mm. That'd be better than touching something that he peed on.
Certainly true. Anything remarkable or interesting happen with you in the last week or so?
I'm finding that when you're ascending hardcore and not using your admin powers to cheat, the autocell function is your best friend.
Yeah.
But I've actually been playing a lot of KOL recently.
How are you finding it?
Well, go to my computer and the URL is stored in my browser.
I see.
Yeah. It makes me happy. It's good seeing the all the new attack text and the little new things that we stuck in here and there, and hearing people complain about the lack of ascension content when they're still on level 4.
Yeah,
and they haven't
true.
Seen the shitload of ascension content.
Yep. I mean, I was a little worried. I was a little worried that people were going to be disappointed, but I think there's still enough. You know, there's still a lot of things that people haven't figured out. People are at first aggravated and then pretty satisfied about the difficulty of the last part of the tower, and the modified middle part of the tower. Yeah, I think in general it's been a success. I feel very relieved. I've just been. I've been checking in to make sure you know there is nothing terrible going on, but I. I've been playing a lot of Planescape Torment, which is just a great game. And if you haven't played it, you should. Everyone. And you, Mr. Skullhead. Yeah.
Very well.
One of the equipment slots in that game is your eyeball, which you can replace with different things.
Hmm.
Just one of them, apparently. I don't know. Maybe the other one, they assume that you keep the original equipment in all the time. Let's see. I'm guessing we've got a lot of submissions to Radio Bugbear so far. Sorry, I've been a little out of sorts. I don't know what to do with myself without the looming ass tension. there was an enormous release of ass tension.
I hope you were sitting on the John.
I was sitting on a John.
Ah, good.
Or perhaps inside a John Malkovich.
Malkovich.
Indeed. So, what are we? Do you see anything in the older questions that you feel was worth messing with? Some of this, I think, predates the Ascension rollout, and so it's probably either not going to make any sense or the question's already been answered.
Let's see. Tiny Plastic Neville, or perhaps Neville, but I prefer to think of it as Neville, says, okay. I'm a level 20 AT with a ranged weapon. I'm doing about X damage with a normal weapon. I'm doing X plus 5 to 10 damage. I think you've gone a screwed us, says Neville.
Well, I mean, we talked about this in the forums. A lot of people were complaining that ranged weapons had been re-nerfed. They were actually made better. I don't know if it was after the 7th or not. I mean, ranged weapons are going to do less damage than normal weapons because they are much easier to hit with for Moxie classes. So you're going to, you're going to hit more often and do less damage than you would with a normal weapon. And I'm okay with that. You know, realistically, it doesn't seem like, I mean, they always say that, like, okay, with a bow and arrow, strength, I mean, this is, I think, how they justify this damage bonus in, like, Dungeons & Dragons. Strength allows you to pull the string on the bow back further. And I suppose strength would allow you to pull the trigger of a crossbow harder, but I don't think that's really going to make any difference in the way the bolt flies. It doesn't allow you to play an accordion much louder, which kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, because the harder you push on the bellows...
Although I don't think it's the volume that makes accordion music effective so much as the agility with which you play the notes, don't you think?
Quite possibly.
That is pretty much leveled where it's going to be right now, the range damage. So, I mean, you've got a choice to make. Either you're going to use a ranged weapon and you're going to hit more often, or you're going to use a melee weapon. You know what? It wasn't until yesterday, Mr. Skullhead, that I understood the Meligra.
I did.
I was just like, okay, I don't, get it. It must just be some word he made up. I was specifically thinking about it. I was like, there's got to be something funny about that, or it's got to mean something. And somehow it just didn't occur to me.
That it was melee plus Viagra.
Yeah. And I think it was just the way I was pronouncing it in my head because I was thinking of it as like a Mexican word. I don't know.
The double E really doesn't show up, though, in your Mexican languages, which include Spanish and...
No, Spanish. But when you write a, say, Mexican accent, you would say like S-E-E-N-Y-A-O-R,
Right.
Like, I think you did that, actually, in some of the stuff, like, EEs where in Spanish it would be an I. Garland says, it looks like I owe Bashy about $5,000, and he calls me a big jickhole. I bet Bashy $50 that lag wouldn't be as bad after Ascension as it was on Easter. So I kind of lose that. He's given me in the forums a few different methods of payment. But really, I think it's going to be easier to just give him $50. Although he said a tradable item that was a $50 bill with a funny description, which we could probably come up with.
That would be cheaper on your end.
It would be cheaper, yeah. But I feel like I should be punished for being wrong about that. He also said he would accept a promise to get rid of the lag within 3 months, which I hope that We've got some of the best minds in industry looking into it for us. There's some progress being made as far as finding a place locally to host stuff, and I'm gonna be doing a little bit more research here locally once I can get down to the bar where my friend who's the bartender who knows everyone in town, and every time I have a problem, he solves it. It's like, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, but sometimes you want to know where this one guy knows everybody's name.
Hmm.
And that's worked out so far. Let's see.
You know, Mortis has one that I'd like to address, which I addressed a similar concern in the forums, but we'll just...
I would like to have you address this.
Yeah, Mortis says, in the final quest there is a blank monster, beating which requires recognizing a reference to a TMBG song, They Might Be Giants. Every other challenge in the game that I can think of requires a good brain, but not a head full of pop culture. Is this a change of direction or a one-off? If it's a change of direction, could you send me a list of every book, album, and film you have ever seen? Actually, I want to clarify, the item that you use to beat that monster is not a new item. It's always been in the game. It's always been a combat item, and the text that you get when you use the combat item is much more of a clue than really the reference. Because there have been people who have known the reference that haven't gotten it. So as far as I know, there's only one puzzle in the whole game that requires you to know something outside of the game, which is part of the Tower Quest. But something that we thought was so universal that we could put it in there. But in my defense, that is not... It's not required to know that They Might Be Giants song. It's required that you either know that They Might Be Giants song or you are really familiar with the items of in the game.
And I do want to weigh in, though, and say that there were a really inordinate number of people stuck on that.
Mm.
I don't know. I feel that that would have been less difficult than the cricket one, which I still just kind of don't understand exactly. But it's... I can see the point that they're making, and it is the same as the point that people made about the other thing. And the thing is, I modified slightly the description of that monster in exactly the same way that I modified the clues to that previous puzzle that we're talking about. Which, you know, the weird thing is, like, a week ago, we wouldn't have felt like we couldn't spoil that puzzle because it had already been there for so long.
Right.
This is something I want to talk about some, you know, just the current environment in some depth in a little while. But yeah, I added a word to, you know, I just sort of modified the description of that monster, added a word that was in bold, which if you search for the name of the monster and that word in Google, you will get the solution on the first try.
Right.
Like with the other thing. And I feel that that's, you know, enough. I wouldn't have felt that it was entirely necessary to do that, but I don't know, it was kind of bothering me that so many people were stuck on it.
Right.
Because that combat item, yes, it is a combat item. I think almost nobody uses combat items. And I feel that the reason that nobody, you know, really uses combat items is up until the change that I made to most of them, especially, the combat mechanism wasn't really such that those items were particularly useful. You know? It's like, it would have been a fairly obvious thing to make. It's like anybody who's going through the game and gathering the requisite items to actually complete the game would have probably tried to make one of those items at some point. Just because they're combining everything in that certain class of items. And so, yeah, they should have used it to see what it did. And that's, you know, was certainly a reasonable expectation. But it was really tricky. And so, it was really tricky. And even if it didn't require that certain specific knowledge, it gave the appearance of doing so.
Hmm.
And I get, I don't know, very rarely do I really get, like, kind of a bite from complaints about the design of the game and the setup of the game. But sometimes, when people complain about the things being too hard in it. And really, this is a function of me being terrible at this kind of game. And the fact that I would not have been able to solve most of the... I would not have been able to solve a lot of the puzzles in this game had I not looked at spoilers. But I just tend to see this as the kind of game that if you're going for completeness, you have to look at spoilers.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know, because it just seems like it's cumbersome, especially if we do anything with, like, meat paste recipes late in the game. It's really cumbersome to just try combining everything, and a lot of the things just don't really make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Objectively, that you have to do. So, one thing that I think will help is, and this is something that, this is a fairly long-term project that I think we should embark on pretty quickly. Because it's something that can just kind of be worked on when there's free time to work on other stuff, is some kind of in-game hint system where you can buy you know, Invisiclues style progressive hints. Not unto an outright spoiler, but, you know, a pointer in the right direction. Because it can pretty much tell based on the status of your quest flags, like what you're working on right now.
Yeah.
And the ability to get the kind of hints that you could get if you went to one of the forum threads that we really like in terms of their hint to spoiler content ratio. You know, if there was some mechanism like that in game, because I worry about people who don't go into the chat and into the forums. Because that's why I say I wouldn't have been able to solve a lot of the puzzles, because I would never go into the chat if I started playing this game. I would not realize what I was missing, but, you know, had I discovered this and it was something that somebody else made, I would have just never. I mean, the first time, you know, I don't know, I would have avoided it. And it probably wouldn't have ever occurred to me to go to the forums. But yeah, I think we're fine the way that is now. I don't feel like it's unsolvable. And while, you know, it's kind of like everything else, like obscure knowledge is going to help you. It's going to make it easier because that's the kind of thing we like to reward, because that's the kind of thing that we value in people, because it makes us value ourselves more. It's a self-serving definition of coolness is knowing a lot of goofy shit like that. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I do feel like it's important to make the distinction that that item was out there, and that the you didn't have to know the song to get the yeah. thing, but you were just infinitely more likely to. But we weren't requiring a degree in They Might Be Giants to be
absolutely. That. I do feel like the majority of the reason people had trouble with it is because they weren't aware of that as a combat item, the same way with the cricket.
Mm.
Because that one, I feel like, since it had other uses, you would have gotten exactly the number that you needed and used them without ever picking another one. I mean, obviously, lots of people have figured it out. So it's not, you know, as hard for everybody as it would have been for me, at least in my... You know, so I tend to give myself whatever the opposite of the benefit of the doubt is. What is the opposite of the benefit of the doubt?
You would tend to not give yourself the benefit of the doubt?
I give myself the detriment of the doubt. Well, no, I mean sort of assume the worst as opposed to assume the best. Because not giving you the benefit of the doubt doesn't necessarily mean that you're, like, assuming, you know, a bad conclusion. I don't know where I'm going.
The thing with that other monster is if you happen to get four of those... and then you try to use the fourth one, then you would see that
yeah,
it was
yeah.
a combat item.
Oh,
if
no,
you
no,
try
no
to
yeah.
use it
and
your
you
inventory.
See, in the message that it gives you when you use it as a non-combat item, and if you ever looked at the... if you carefully read the item description, I mean, that's really... that's enough to make it solvable, so it's okay to require that of people.
Yeah. Damn it.
You know. It's just that's what the chat was absolutely full of that mm-hmm. night.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, and you know, I mean, obviously some of them are going to be harder than others because, it's like, a lot of people actually had trouble with the easel, but they were just, like, super happy when they figured it out, you know? Because that was just a really good one. Let's see. Mortis says, the blank and the blank sells both blank and blank with one at a higher price than the other. Why? This is going to get annoying.
Yeah, it is.
I don't remember why one is higher priced than the other. They shouldn't be.
I think that they should. I saw that the first time that I went through there, and if you want to save yourself that one click, then I think it's okay to ask you to spend more up front.
Maybe that was my rationale for... I mean, I'm just saying it's not a big deal, like, now that they're selling it, that it would be different in two different places. I just wonder why I made it like that in the first place. I mean, I suppose, you know, you can... you could get a job as a newbie smashing wads of dough for 10 meat each.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how I do it. So I've spoiled it, dough and flat dough. Concord says, can you please add a make quantity to the Crackpot Mystic? Yes, that is a feature that I should add fairly quickly, because he's getting a lot more traffic these days for one reason or another. He who lacks originality says, why is it that as a teetotaler you can still drink in the typical tavern? It should be the case that you cannot, and if you can, that is a bug.
Is it still possible, then, to get the item that you need from the typical tavern?
You don't really need it. I mean, what if you were a teetotaler, why would you want that?
If you were a teetotaler with a mall store.
Well, yeah, I think we that was what came up when we were discussing it, and I mean, if you're not in hardcore, if you're a teetotaler with a mall store, you could buy those at the mall, which I think you would anyway. I mean, it seems pretty unlikely that somebody who's playing seriously is going to be adventuring for those.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it seems like the kind of thing that, like, newbies who are spending time in the tavern because they don't have anywhere better to go, or they don't have anything better to do with their drunkenness capacity, are going to farm those and sell them to people who want them to make the campground out of them. Like, that's the way that I sort of interpret that situation being. I mean, I can see the point, and, you know, maybe it would be worth it to write another set of adventures for the tavern that had the items dropping in the same proportions, less stats and no drunkenness. That might be something to look at. Like, you go and make fun of the drunk people. Like, you go, you know, you just go in as one of those smug fucks who doesn't drink and messes with their drunk friends. Not that I don't like people who don't drink. Sorry, Marshall.
Yeah, I can think of at least two.
Yeah, guys that I like. And, you know, whatever. You don't, like, I mean, reality is just a crutch for people who can't handle booze, man. Let's see. What do we got? BunnyBomb2 says, being completely immobile, Jick sucks at cage matches, which is unsurprising given that Jick sucks at pretty much everything. I'm just kidding. Of course, you are awesome. Great. Somebody named their barnacle Jick, apparently. Oh, let's see. Jill Bob says, what with Ascension being a big in-game event, shouldn't there be something at the museum for it? Perhaps a statue of Ralph, the ever-captured, and plaque of those that freed him first. Yeah, actually, that top 100 or first 100 Ascenders list from the front page is soon to be enshrined on a plaque in the museum. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. You know, because it requires me making another image for inside the museum, which is... I have to do the horribly difficult cutting and pasting of one of the other images of a plaque. Oh, let's see. The Narpa says, my friend Crazy Ernie is about to write off KOL forever because his stats are such that the sorceress is literally impossible. He's getting really angry about that and the lag. I know you're working on the lag, but it'd help him a lot if you made his stats something more reasonable. He's a good guy, but he's frustrated out of his mind. Iocane Powder wants happy Crazy Ernie, not angry Crazy Ernie. Help. Let me know what the stats are. We took great pains, and by we I mean hot stuff, because he has a lot more patience for this kind of thing, to make sure that every combination of stats, as long as you're tough enough to beat her, every combination of stats it is possible to beat her with as any class. There are, you know, a lot of people are having trouble with this fight because it's not like any other fight in the game. It's a fight that, you know, it gets harder with you, at least the first time through. We're thinking about making it so if you want, on further runs, to spend a lot more time building yourself up, that you won't have such a hard time with the sorceress again, though I'm still kind of wondering whether or not that's really where I want to go with it, but it's definitely something that we're talking about. You have to be pretty creative in the fight. Like, you have to pay attention to what she's doing in response to the things that you're doing. Combat items that you don't think are going to be useful are incredibly useful in this fight. The combat items that don't do damage to monsters, it would be well worth your time, if you're not the kind of person that uses combat items like that, to play with those and notice the kind of things that they do in combat, because they are, I'm going to go so far as to say that they are almost necessary in the sorceress fight. If you don't have the kind of skills that emulate what those items do, and those who know what those items do in terms of game mechanics know which skills they're equivalent to, so they'll know what I'm talking about. There's also some post-ascension content that makes it quite a bit easier for you to figure out. Well, let me just say this. There's I guess that I can spoil this because it's already been discovered and is out there. There's an improved version of the Detective Skull, which gives you a lot more accurate and interesting information about monsters than the existing Detective Skull. And I don't know, it's a neat tool for spades and for people who are having trouble with stuff like that, because it'll just give you a lot of information about the monster's stats compared to your own, And I don't know, a lot of people have discovered how useful the Detective Skull is in the Sorcerer's fight, because it just gives you a lot better idea of how far along you are. You know. And that's something, you know, most games the boss has a life meter, you know, so it's not really, I don't feel like that's an unreasonable thing to have possible in here. How did how were your experiences fighting her, Mr. Skullhead?
I got extremely frustrated with it, and went around telling anyone who would listen that she needed to be brought down a little bit. But, well, the only way that I managed to do it is getting some hints from some of our testers who are more on the hardcore player side than I am.
Right.
And once I had those hints, then I did okay.
Based on a lot of that, we cranked her down a few notches right before she rolled out. During that downtime. So, I mean, it was worse before, if you feel like it's too bad now. You know, and if it's the case that it turns out a lot of people are still having a ton of trouble with it, I mean, there are still a lot of people, a lot of active players who haven't gone through it yet. So, you know, it might be the case that, like, it's like, we gotta make it possible. You know, I mean, trust me, you do a little better every time you fight her. You know, you start to learn tricks. You find out which things are successful and which things aren't, which things are effective and which things aren't, and, you know, just keep at it. But as far as Crazy Ernie goes, let me know, somebody, the Narpus, if you want to send me a K-mail, just to check, like, what are his stats, or I suppose I could just look him up. I do have the ability to look at people's stats. You know, the other thing is, we wanted to make sure that this fight was balanced for everyone, and we did do test runs for all the people that we knew of with super weird, super unbalanced stats. And we didn't want to make it so, you know, two or three people, in order to make the fight make more sense for them, we have it make less sense or be ridiculously easy for the overwhelming majority of people who are playing. You know, I mean, we're kind of assuming, in general, that your stats are, you know, your primary is, what are we looking at? Your primary is, your secondary stats are about, I don't know, 70%. They're like, what, the square root of half of the square of your primary? I don't know exactly how that math works. I mean, it's not like a straight percentage over the life of your character because of the exponential nature of the way you gain, like, sort of the little sub-experience points in your stats. But, yeah. Comrade Jesus, perhaps a typo in the mini-storage when it gives you the option to examine your items. This may be intentional, as it is Hank's. Yeah, if you haven't ascended to the Moxie area yet, one of these days after you've ascended to the Moxie area, you will understand all of the typos in the ancestral mini-storage. You will also... A lot of people are reporting bugs with a certain monster in the muscle sign area, which
we fully anticipated.
Yeah, we totally did, and it's worth it. It's worth having those fake reports, I think, because I still think that's just one of the funniest monsters.
You know, Werebear gave me a report on that, which surprised me.
I mean, he wasn't in there where we were actually, because Riff wrote the attack text on those, right?
Yeah. But, you know, Werebear's generally on top of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean,
you know, here's
the thing is, if you'd never seen the one that's, like, the MySQL error, then the one that says, you know, because I was having them look at stuff in the combat mechanics, and it's like, when you're looking at stuff like that, you're not necessarily paying attention to which one of the monsters you're fighting. You know? You just look at it afterwards and maybe not, you know, it's all right. Yeah, it's forgivable.
So,
Werebear's been working pretty hard.
Kuru has a question, which I've actually been meaning to suggest this to you. How about allowing us to send stuff from storage in packages, or just send it, I was thinking, without having to first remove it from storage? This would be particularly useful for people who want to purchase art, say, or but can't get at their meat because of the hardcore or Ronin restrictions. And I was thinking of that, too, because that would enable DJs who ascend to be able to send prizes straight from their storage.
From their storage, yeah. That's something that in the scope of the packages, I think that'll probably be okay. It's a matter of the interface is going to be strange if it's. I suppose that there could just be a single drop down that contains all the items in your inventory and all the items in your storage. It's just a matter of, we got to be really careful because that's a place where typos can introduce dupe bugs. So that's something that'll have to be pretty thoroughly tested. But yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good.
Or it could just be that if you try to send a message and you're in, well, no, I was gonna say if you try to send a message and you're in hardcore Ronin, it just automatically gives you your storage instead of your inventory.
But yeah, then you have stuff in your inventory. You want to send them something out of your inventory, yeah. And I mean, then I thought about like, well, okay, what if then I make just another version that does the same thing except from your storage instead of your inventory? But then you have like a million meat in storage and 1337 meat on your character, and you want to send a million 1337 meat, yeah. Which like. My first answer to that would be like, well, fuck off if you want to do that. sorry, we don't want to write that. But that's not a fair answer. That's not a cool answer. So, this is something that I meant to do. Bunnybum2 asks, how many hardcore Oxygenarians are there? I'm gonna look into this. I meant to generate some statistics about the Ascensions and how many people had stayed in hardcore and how many people had dropped out of hardcore and all that. What I will do is I will select Count Star from the player table, where hardcore equals one. Not that that's the name of the field.
No.
Certainly.
That would be a good name for the field, though.
It would be a good name for the field. There are 2,816 player accounts in hardcore right now.
Wow.
Let's see, and the path field name equals the value associated with Oxygenarian. And there are, 1,722 people in hardcore Oxygenarian runs. I'd imagine there's going to be a spike in that number as soon as the first person completes one.
Yeah.
Because there are still a lot of neat things to be got that nobody has seen yet. Let's see. Lusty Pirate Wench says, if you click on someone's Ascensions link on the Ascension History page, there's no way to get back to the original profile. There should be now. I believe that I pushed that to the live servers. If not, it's in tested. It's in testins. And we'll be out soon. Let's see. Can you put a symbol on clan roster pages next to names, whether the player is Ronin, Hardcore, or Normal mode? It's fun knowing the details without looking at each profile. That is actually a pretty good idea, too. Comrade Jesus says, could there be a counter for Ascenders, sort of like player numbers, but for Ascension? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I think he means that... if you're the 31st person that that ascended, you have another player ID that's kind of supplemental to your player ID.
Oh, like the order in which the time at which you ascended first. Your rank in terms of the order in which everyone ascended.
The first ascension run for the entire player base. We could do it like star dates and just have, player ID 688.475.
That's true. I mean,
no, actually, that would be really lame. I was just blue
sky
in there.
That wouldn't actually show up anywhere. But yeah, we don't have many Star Trek references. Yeah. I mean, unless you assume that sorority orcs are green skinned and hot. I don't know. Is the conceit that sorority orcs are attractive or no? It seems like some things are written such that they're hideously ugly, and some things are written such that they're hot co-eds.
Isn't there just one reference to sorority orcs in the game?
I thought there were more than that.
Because there's a monster, and then there's an adventure.
And there's something in Fernsworthy's basement.
Oh, right, yeah. I believe that the conceit is that they're hot co-eds.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay with that conceit because that's something that everybody needs a few more of in their life. It's hot co-eds.
Yeah. Harem girls are kind of big curvy ladies, and sorority orcs are hot females, which doesn't really work if you think about the orcs in terms of, say, Lord of the Rings orcs.
Right.
Which
I mean, honestly, when I think about the orcish frat boys, I just think about frat boys.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's enough for me to consider you, like, sort of an enemy.
Worthy of a beatdown.
Yeah, you don't have to be green or... I mean, sorry if there's any people in frats who are playing. Yeah. You know, if you're in an engineering frat or whatever, it doesn't count. Because those aren't real frats. I mean, they are. They are real frats. The other frats aren't real frats.
This is 10 dozen minutes of digging ourselves deeper with Chicken Skullhead.
Yeah. Whatever. Although, I shouldn't, you know, eventually these frat boys will all, they'll all be running their dad's companies, and I'll have to deal with them someday.
Mm.
Let's see. The Narpas says, Jick, Docalactic needs more powerful restoratives. Do something about it. And then he says, sorry, that last message wasn't supposed to be as urgent or demanding as it sounded. No. See, Docalactic's restoratives are just fine the way that they are. The reason that you want those... That thing is really carefully balanced to make it so, the most expensive ones from there are fine for what, excuse me. Wow, that was really gross. I just threw up into my mouth a little bit.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Oh, boy, so do I. You want to answer a question while I maybe drink something?
Yeah, sure. Let's see, we've got... Asic asks, why can't meat stacks be untinkered? They used to be able to be untinkered, and they gave you an item which was kind of hard to find, and people were using that to make that hard-to-find item really easy to find, so you can no longer untinker your meat stacks. You can sell them, which pretty much accomplishes the same thing if you made the meat stack by just clicking the Make a Meat Stack button. It just kind of converts it back into the meat, so... I don't think that's a problem. Cryptic Angel asks, and has asked repeatedly, have you ever considered compressing the player database? For example, player 4 exists, player 5 is disabled and deleted, player 6 would now have the player ID 5. It would... something else, says Cryptic Angel later on. But that... changing someone's player ID is... really, really difficult. I mean, not difficult, but it makes a lot of things happen. Like, contact lists get broken. I don't know what else happens, but...
A tremendous number of things have to be changed all at once, and basically every time we add a new feature, that becomes something that has to change. So, really, no. I mean, especially because the only point of that is just the sort of low player ID penisery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I gotta admit that I'm not immune from that, although I do have, you know, the lowest player ID, so it's all well and good for me to say that, but...
And I'm still seeking getting my original player ID back.
Yeah, maybe when you're down here, we should just do that.
Yeah.
So that way you can be logged on to the machine across the room from me, and whenever something doesn't work, we just fix it right then, as opposed to sort of back and forth. Yeah, that's that. Why don't we do that? Yeah.
All right.
So you will become number 13. Or do you want to become number 2?
Yeah, it would be kind of cool to be number 2, except my business cards say number 13, so we might as well do that.
But I don't think anybody's ever going to go by your business card in terms of sending you to that player ID.
Yeah.
I don't know. Your business cards also have an address an email address that doesn't actually exist. So do mine, as it turns out.
Oh.
I think maybe we just need to get new business cards.
That might be the case. How many of those do we have, though?
Oh, like
thousands?
Enormous ass loads.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what we probably ought to do is do sort of a blanket advertising campaign where we shoot all the remaining business cards out of a cannon.
Hmm.
Just, at some city. Preferably not this one. Or the one that you live in.
Tucson.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tucson.
Yeah,
fuck,
we should
fuck
do that.
Tucson.
Hey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you say fuck Tucson, you mean a very, very specific part of Tucson. All right. You guys can't tell that we're not so much down to business anymore, can you? It's gonna be pretty difficult to pick up on the fact that we're a little more relaxed and just kind of screwing around now that this...
Given that we've been on the air for 45 minutes and we've gotten... maybe a quarter of the way through the questions list.
The questions that showed up before we actually went on the air.
Right.
Yeah. So, Let's see. Dr. Van Van Mojo says, "Hey, Jick, do the plus item find modifiers work the same everywhere in the game, or are there some areas where plus item find gives you fewer item drops, or does the random number generator hate me?" Well, the plus item drop modifiers is something that a lot of people probably assume, but a lot of people probably don't know, is they don't have any impact on items that you get from adventures, only from monsters. So, part of what... See, I started reading another question, and I just totally lost my ability to focus on this one. What was I talking about? I was talking about the item drop bosses. That, you know, some areas don't have any monsters in them. Some areas only have adventures, and so plus item and plus meat drop things there aren't going to make any difference. And really, that's a pretty fundamental thing in the way that the adventuring code works. So, you know, the gravy fairy isn't going to do anything for you in the haiku dungeon. For instance, you're not any more likely to get the adventures that have items than you are the ones with stats, and you're also not, the shore isn't impacted by it at all. So maybe that's maybe that answers your question, but if not, then your question, the answer is no, and it does work the same everywhere in terms of what it actually does. There's no specific exceptions coded, and there's no place where, I mean, that would be kind of cruel if, you know, unless I decided that there was going to be a bizarro world zone where everything was the opposite of normal things, and so your heavy familiars became light, and your light familiars became heavy, and everything was calculated based on the inverse of your stats. That wouldn't be very much fun, though.
Yeah, and you were pissed off that the iMac had too many floppy drives.
Exactly.
Cloud Rookie asks, is there a reason the muscle sign, spoiler, area is considerably crappier than the Miscality and Moxie areas? It's not.
Yeah, a lot of people are... I've actually heard a lot more people saying that the Mysticality one is crappy compared to the other two, which is a sentiment that I would echo, actually, because what happened was the Mysticality zone was really, like, that has been done for months. And I kind of half-assed the other two, and then we were like, you know, these are kind of half-ass. So then we made each of them like an ass and a half, so the whole ass in the Mysticality zone was suddenly looking a little lackluster. There is... From what I've heard the testers say, people, once they become familiar with the mechanics of all three of the big post-ascension areas, the muscle one is kind of the thing to do for hardcore speed runs. Because there's a lot of cool stuff in there. There's also tricky stuff in there. And a lot of the reason that people are kind of down on the muscle zone area now is that nobody has really completely figured... I think some people actually have. I think by this time, people understand how the little field in the bottom of it works. I saw a gleam of comprehension on Mr. Magnifico. Mr. Magnifico, who wears outfits that make it difficult to actually recognize a gleam when you see one, but I saw it. And people in that forum thread where they're talking about it, they were starting to pick up on the way that thing works. And once you understand how that works, that area becomes much more useful. But it is complicated, and it's one of the only things that if not the only thing that we've put in the game that actually just takes a few days to get stuff out of. But that's something that I really like. That's a mechanism that I think is pretty cool, and I think we should work on more stuff like that.
Patience, young Padawan.
Indeed.
Yeah, I finished watching all of the Star Wars. After we saw Episode 3, we rented 4, 5, 6, and 1, because we had rented 2 right before 3.
Uh-huh.
So I've kind of got Star Wars on the brain.
Did you see something awful today?
Yeah. And I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I also I picked up Mad Magazine. Actually, was it when I was with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. There was a thing about George Lucas in there that was kind of funny. So, hey, everybody, pick up this month's Mad Magazine. You know, full of advertisements. What the hell happened to the Mad of my youth? Did you read Mad Magazine when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I actually subscribed to it for probably 6 or 7 years.
Hmm.
Which is why my sense of humor comes from the 70s, even though I read it in the 80s. Because MAD pretty much is stuck in the 70s. Or at least it was when I was a kid. Or even the late 60s. It's kind of strange. Oh, let's see. Mini Ruler says, will you ever have a stat that lists how long you have been in your clan? Probably not. Boozer the Drunk says, hey, I have an idea. How about you make a skill for Postamancers called Impasta? It would allow you to mimic the outfit you own without putting it on. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
So let's jump into today's questions. I think
looking at the rest of them. Wow, I've been looking at nothing but... Wow, jeez. Ponkos says, Jick, would you please explain how hardcore PvP works? Yes. That is something... That's going to be tricky for the first little while until there are more people in hardcore. When you're in hardcore, and if you're PvPing, you can only attack other people who are in hardcore. You can only be attacked by other people who are in hardcore. And you can only fight for rank or flowers. You can't actually impact anybody's stats. Same with Ronin. Your stats cannot be impacted by PvP when you're in Ronin. If you need more of an explanation than that, then please ask a more specific question. But that's pretty much the set of rules. It's pretty straightforward. Let's see.
COC says, Sympathy says you are more sympathetic toward all creatures, and that makes them more powerful. Yet it makes my... blank less powerful. Same for empathy. Please discuss.
It's been suggested, and it's been suggested, you know... Yeah, I think, that maybe those should work in the opposite direction in the case of that particular familiar. Although that isn't exactly spoilery. I mean, you can read about it right in the game, so let's just say it's the dodecapede. The familiar that gets more powerful as it gets, or gets less powerful as it gets heavier. I might decide when I'm looking at, because there's still some bug with the Turtle Tamer skills and the way that your familiar weight gets displayed. It's fine. It's being calculated correctly when you're fighting. It's not gonna hurt you. But it's just it's this weird display glitch where it's not calculating the weight correctly. And when I'm looking at that, it may well be time for me to, just say that, yeah, you know, it does make sense that it would make your familiar better no matter what constituted better.
True.
You know?
Especially considering to get the familiar item, you're gonna have to get it heavier.
Just barely, though. Because the people have figured out the trick, which you take some other familiar and win 9 times, and then you take him in there the last time, win once, try and get him just 1 win.
Yes.
Which brings him from 1 to 1 pound. I mean, it's bringing him from 0 to 1 pounds, but it bottoms out at 1. So a familiar with 0 kills is actually a 1 pound. If you manage to win very close. If you manage to win more than that, then you could accidentally get him up to 2 pounds in that one thing. But yeah, I mean, people with the Turtle Tamer intrinsic are kind of screwed in that regard, because they just, you know, they're never going to get it any lighter than either 5 or 6 pounds, depending on... let's see. Mini Johnny says, howdy, Jick and Mr. Skullhead. I was wondering what is going to happen when and if the Pickle Factory appears again. Virtually no one will be able to kill the monsters, as everyone will be a low level. Will the monster levels be reduced or something? Thanks. Ooh, by the way, Ascension is great, and thank you for the Pickle Factory. How about you answer this one, Mr. Skullhead?
Well, none may know the hour of the Pickle Factory's coming and going, and I'm pretty sure that none may know if we're going to change how powerful the bosses are either.
That was exactly the answer I was hoping for. The Fearsome Phantom says, today is my birthday. Happy birthday of the Fearsome Phantom.
Yes, please send him some happy birthday goodies. What goodies you can send depends on how far you've got in the game. You know, I was wondering about that. About how many people are going to keep going back to see if new stuff has been added to certain places. But I think they will.
Yeah.
There's just no notification anywhere. You'd have to... kind of check.
There's also going to be more and more stuff that's like, you know, we had some cool ideas too late to actually do anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you and I go out drinking and try and develop these some more, we'll turn them into something a little bit more concrete to start thinking about and working on. But you know, things that. Sort of little narrative threads that got revealed a little bit at a time the more times you ascended. You know?
Yeah.
Something, I mean, not to sound like we're just trying to create more little carrots on more little sticks to hold out in front of people to get them to ascend over and over again, but just to make it, you know, I mean, I would think that that was cool if I was playing. If I think, ah!
What the hell happened?
Joe! I fell over on the gay I am blue ball. I really gotta be a little less relaxed here. You know, it's not only you'll be going back to see if there's new stuff in it, because there will be. That's the cool thing now, is like, I used to feel a little less apt to want to add content to low-level zones because hardly anybody would see it who was playing, you know? And, I mean, obviously we did at a lot of times, and, you know, it has worked out because more new players have seen it since then than would have seen it at the time when we added it. But now, you know, I'm a lot more likely to put in class-specific stuff because you can see it without creating a multi. I'm a lot more likely to put new stuff into low levels because you'll be going through there again pretty soon. Gay Wiener, I think, if he says anything else to anyone ever, has earned himself an account disabling.
Yeah.
Repo Man asks an equally dumb question. Sorry, Repo Man, but... the Telf. Hi, Chicken Scully. Long-time listener, first-time messenger. Just thought you'd like to know that because of the scheduling of Ascension, I have failed my exams. Was this your aim?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when you came over, Mr. Skullhead, and you were like, you know, the Telf is in danger of passing his exams. And I was like, this cannot be, for the prophecy has foretold that this will start us on a path towards our undoing. What can we do about it?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, we were wearing the robes with the hoods and, yeah.
Ropes with hoods?
Robes.
Oh.
Robes wouldn't make any sense.
No, it really wouldn't. Sick Bacchus says, kudos on Ascension. Now I want to have your babies. Note, due to our similar genital persuasions, babies may have to be ass babies.
Lovely.
You refer to gender as a genital persuasion?
No, I would say genital configuration, but...
I mean, I can sometimes utilize my genital persuasion skills to talk women into doing things that they wouldn't otherwise do. In fact, I think that, you know, in my next RPG, that's going to be one of your character attributes, is genital persuasion. Or perhaps persuasiveness.
You could have all kinds of persuasion, like the crystal blue, pretty much just the crystal blue.
What does that mean?
Crystal Blue Persuasion. It's an old 80s song.
Oh. But what about the REM song Pretty Persuasion?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Although genitals aren't very pretty.
No.
I mean, sadly, I like girls. let's see. E. Peters 02 says, Chicken Scully, what aspect of writing and coding Ascension was the most important in making its rollout a success? And if you could change just one thing about developing and deploying the Ascension content other than announcing a schedule, what would it be? Yeah, you anticipated my one thing that I would have changed. Honestly, having other people to test stuff for me is what it was the single thing that made it as much of a smooth rollout as it was. We've done a good job, I think, over the last year or so of improving our ability to, like, sort of store for later perusal the ideas that we have and developing things in a more collaborative way that doesn't actually require us to talk all the time. Which has been very helpful, at least in me and Mr. Skullhead getting our collective shit together and getting stuff done. And, I mean, really, just more heads to rub together has been the single greatest boon, I think, we've had in terms of getting this stuff done. How do you feel about the process, Mr. Skullhead?
I do think that getting Riff and Hot Stuff on board helped immeasurably. And that kind of allowed us to specialize in what we're good at. So I really didn't have to test the Ascension stuff, which is good, because I'm just kind of Joe Loathing. You know, I'm not a power gamer and I'm not a bug finder. So I was able to just sit and write stuff. And I think because of that, I wrote more. And I wrote funnier too.
Yeah, it's, I've been sort of, you know, I've resisted the temptation to go through and read all of the monster attack text just in sequence in the thing, because I like seeing something funny that I haven't seen before every day when I play this, and I'm just impressed as hell with all that stuff. A lot of times when like typos will get through because I'll put stuff in and not actually read it, because I want to read it when I'm, you know, messing around playing through it to test rather than,
Unfortunately, I'm seeing those now too as I play through, and for the most part, I can fix them. There's one familiar that has a typo in its haiku. Is that something I can see?
It's not. It's something I could fix right now.
All right.
You want to tell me?
I'll tell you on MSN.
Oh, okay. All right. you're listening to 10 dozen minutes of conversations we could be having if there weren't hundreds of people listening to us on the radio, but have decided to do so at that point anyway.
Yeah, no, if we could change one thing about developing and deploying the Ascension content, I don't know if there were anything that I would want to change. Obviously, we still have stuff that we could have made better if we took more time on it, but everything works that way. So
yeah,
we would have just kept messing with it, and never rolled it out. And that's no good either.
Oh, let's see. Primavera Angel Hair asks a long series here. I was wondering if there was progress on a way for us to continue to run contests and take donations for them, and also if you'd let me know when the other idea went through, the one about the trophy. Also, I've recently gone into PvP, and a lot of folks feel that hardcore PvP should have its own separate games and ways, as it's the only area currently where going hardcore is a heavy disadvantage. Otherwise, I have to say, this has been a true thrill, seeing all of the new content mechanisms. And lastly, are some of the Zodiac signs such that we will not see their full potential under certain paths? Yes, it is the case. Let me answer these in reverse order. It is the case that some of the Zodiac signs, you won't see their potential under certain paths. Some of them are rendered completely useless by certain paths. And it's not that I wanted you to be able to do that, because I'm like, haha, I like for you to make mistakes that you aren't aware of. But it's like, I don't want to spoil what the signs do. It's really interesting watching people try and figure that out. Like, it's interesting seeing the spoiler sites get built collectively. To me, at least. And then, I gotta tell you, everybody, I'm gonna go on a little tangent here. I am just in love with the discussion forum right now. Everybody is being so cool about giving hints instead of spoilers. It's like it used to be. It is, it just makes me so happy to read that forum now.
And kudos to the moderators who have stepped up when there were the occasional spoiler.
Yeah, absolutely. We would not be able to do it without you kids, and you are test shit, as it were.
And the wind beneath our collective wings.
We do have these wings that we share. It's kind of rough sometimes, like if I need to go to the post office and you're like in the town where you live.
Yeah.
Because I have to kind of hoof it because my wings are somewhere halfway in between here and there. Oh, let's see. Hardcore being a disadvantage in PvP. Well, hardcore PvP, it seems like everybody is under the same disadvantages, and except in terms of the minigames that have to do with eating and drinking, in which case obviously certain paths are going to give you certain advantages or disadvantages. Know that we are, we've got a lot of brain boxes bubbling away at doing some improvements to PvP, and won't be long. Not going to tell you when, though. Ever again about anything. Why would, says Christina, a certain dum-da-dum-da-da have a discard option for no good reason? That is a very good, good question. And I should fix that. So let me drop that into my little to-do list thing. Have you seen the thing that I wrote recently, Mr. Skullhead? The little to-do thing on the GM utilities?
Yes.
I
wasn't going to make a big to-do about it, but...
And we need a name for that thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
When we were initially talking about it, we kept referring to it as the Wikigasm, but that's...
Wow.
It's not so much a wiki, and it's not so much gasmic. Hey, you know what I got yesterday?
What did you get yesterday?
Giant Pocky.
Giant Pocky, wow.
Yeah, it's like the size of a cereal box. it's Pocky. I haven't opened it yet. I'm saving it for a special occasion of some sort or another. But yeah, it's like you know, foot and a half long sticks of Pocky strawberry. I'm pretty excited about that. So yeah, obligatory Pocky mention. Also mm-hmm. Xenophobe.
Xenophobe likes Pocky.
I don't know if Xenophobe likes Pocky or not.
Yeah, but
how could he not though?
For the purposes of our venture tonight.
Yeah. So I've now logged back in, and now my thing will work again. Yeah.
So Rickett asks, why isn't the terrarium I don't know, can I say that? I think I can say that.
Yeah.
Why isn't the terrarium of an astral spirit full of familiar astral spirits? Because your familiars stay your familiars. They don't actually ascend with you. Only the one familiar you take with you ascends with you.
It should be the case, though, that when it shows your primary familiar on that screen, that is the astral spirit one.
Yes, as well it should be.
Because they should have already at that point been set to 0 pounds, so they'll all say, or you know, to 0 kills, so they should all say 1 pound, which is true because they're just sitting there waiting for you in your terrarium, or rather waiting for you know your son or daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other thing I need to make it so you can choose a gender upon ascension. And I keep meaning to not have gender no longer linked to profile gender so that you can actually, you know, do a little bit of bending with your character. Dance Commander says, have you considered adding unlockable extra classes? I.e., once you have earned and retained certain specific class skills over the course of several ascensions, a new prestige class may become available upon your next reincarnation. Not new classes, but I have considered, and this is something that... this is something that you and I probably should talk about, Mr. Skull, and see what we can come up with. Changing the class titles to have different things in them that will show up if you have certain combinations of skills, because that would be cool. And, you know, if we sat and came up with, you know, 100 of them, then that would be just kind of a fun thing for people to discover. Because you wouldn't be able to get more than one of them at a time, probably. But, you know, yeah. Use multiple, says link 226 on something doesn't work. Okay, I should look into that also. A lot of people asking about the plaque for the first 100 ascenders, and yes, that is still happening. What's next for the KOL development team? Dealing with lag? Yes. New areas? Yes. Wild parties with beer and strippers?
Christ,
yes.
I hope so.
Trying to figure out a way to make the solid gold Ferraris drivable? Yes. Well, no. We melt them down and use them to buy solid gold Mini Coopers.
Jick mocks me because at some point I am going to own a Mini Cooper. Oh, so I hung out with my big gay uncle Brian this weekend, and when I said that I had wanted to buy a Mini Cooper, he kind of looked me up and down and said, you're kind of a maxi guy. Yeah, big gay uncle Brian. So,
Big I didn't know you had a big gay uncle Brian.
Big gay uncle Brian. Yeah, he lives in Tennessee, where I was last week.
Wow. Your mom's brother or dad's brother?
Mom's brother.
Huh.
If he was dad's brother, something tells me we wouldn't be hanging out.
I would have thought that maybe from both points, but I don't know.
Oh, well.
That's weird.
Private conversations in public.
Yes, indeed, private conversations.
Sorry,
so,
that was totally
so,
my
I mean,
fault.
I guess we know where you got it, then. Apparently,
the gay runs in my family.
Yeah, it comes from your mother's brother. That's where you get it.
But he has a full head of hair.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So,
so the gayness...
You really got the short end of the stick from him as opposed to the long end.
Yeah, you'll be getting the short end of the stick from me if you keep talking like that.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear. Oh, let's see. I am the AZN man, just asking who would win in a fight between Darth Vader and Qui-Gon Jinn. Darth Vader... between James Earl Jones and Liam Neeson, I would say James Earl Jones.
I would say Liam Neeson, because James Earl Jones is, you know, kind of old and fat, and Liam Neeson is kind of tall and wiry.
Yeah, what about Liam Neeson versus Liam Gallagher?
Liam Gallagher's a brawler.
Yeah.
But if it was Liam Neeson versus Liam Gallagher versus Gallagher...
Versus Gallagher.
I would have to give it to Gallagher because he has the sledgehammer.
He does have a sledgehammer, yeah. What if it was Mario versus Gallagher versus Liam Neeson versus Liam Gallagher? Because Mario also has a hammer.
And fireballs.
That's true.
Which Mario are we talking about? See, this is what geeks do.
like fat dying on the toilet Mario or like skinny armied Mario?
No, are we talking only Fire Flower Mario? Are we talking Fire Flower Hammer Cape Mario?
What if it, like the weird one where he turns into a statue?
Tanuki Mario.
Right. Or the useless frog suit Mario?
Oh, that suit's useful for killing yourself by jumping off of ledges.
It's useful for the underwater levels.
Yeah.
But,
we like Nintendo.
Darian Lars says, do you realize that your show interferes with the watching of 6 Feet Under? Yeah, sorry guys, many less than threes, but you might want to think of rescheduling. You know, that show used to be on Sundays. For me, it's not a problem because I've got the cable box, which has the equivalent of a TiVo built into it. So I record. I have actually not watched I've not watched last week's 6 Feet Under because I was, by the time I wasn't just cripplingly busy anymore, I forgot about it. So I should really watch that. I also usually only watch TV while I'm eating now, and a lot of times 6 Feet Under starts with something you don't want to be eating while you're watching, and I don't, I mean, it's not like Fear Factor-esque, but like sometimes it's kind of grisly, so I, I feel your pain, but, you know, record it.
Oh, I should take a second to plug the thread in the forums tonight, which is 120 minutes of Thriller with Jick and Mr. Skullhead, probably referring to the Michael Jackson trial, which my only feeling on that is thank God it's fucking over. And in that thread, they did record for posterity that you burped and vomited in your mouth a little bit. So, good to know.
Let's see. It's Cogito Ergo Sum says, hi, Jick and Scully. Will either of you appear on an episode of my podcast devoted entirely to KOL? Its link is, www.andrewthetechie.com/podcast. I'll tell you what. I will, in exchange for you explaining to me what the hell podcast means. How about that?
It's a radio show that you download to your iPod and listen to it.
How is that any different than just an MP3?
I'm not sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because like it is just an MP3. It's a show that you recorded as an MP3, but, like, why does that need some name that has nothing to do with anything?
Well, because it's kind of like a broadcast in that you put out new episodes and people listen to them. Like, it's a show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
That was my initial idea for what we would do for Radio KOL when he first approached me, because I didn't think of it as something that could possibly ever do live shows on, but I didn't realize how badass these people were as far as their ability to create a radio station. I'll look at it. I'll listen to a couple and then tell you whether I'll be on it or not. And then, yeah. Okay, cool, sure. Why aren't there more uses for bar skin, says Zim? There should be. Because everything else that has skin in it has some things you can do with it that's, let's see, yeah. We're looking at, we've got a bunch of ideas for a kind of a smithing revamp that's kind of cool. And not this is not the the promised seal color conslubable or even seal clubber consumable skill. But that's fairly soon. That will happen within a year. I'll say that's probably a feasible time frame for it. BlackBelt02 says, when did you think about creating a game like this? My entire life I thought about creating a game like this. How much money did you start with to create this game? $0.00. I was living on student loans and like $6 an hour working for the CS department at Arizona State when I started working on this. And wasn't able to quit my day job until it had been going for like a year and a half. Do you think it was a success beyond what you expected or not? It has been a success beyond, honestly, beyond what I even in my wildest imaginings dared to consider as a possibility.
Yeah, I'll side with you on that.
Yeah.
Whenever we end up going to a Kingdom Gathering or to like to PAX when we went last year, it's just like, we're doing this because this game is so successful, and yeah. And I'm sure I have to pinch myself harder than you have to pinch yourself, because the reason that I'm in on this is I got in on it before it got big. And so it wasn't even like I started this thing. It's like I managed to weasel my way in here.
No, you certainly didn't do any weaseling.
Well, I managed to get in on it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I invited you in the beginning, you know? I mean, I like, in the same as we were working on, I mean, we were kind of working on Asymmetric together, although that was mostly me not doing anything and only a little bit you not doing anything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, don't sell yourself short there, Mr. Skullin. You're more important to this whole shitstorm than you think, I think. Mushroom Bob says, is blank a skill that you can carry over from Ascension to Ascension? Yes. And somebody also right after that asks, Lucky06, dear Jacob, you get a certain blank skill during one Ascension. Do you get to keep it when you ascend again? Thanks. You get the opportunity to keep it. The only skills that you can't keep through Ascension are Liver of Steel. The only skills are Liver of Steel. And I don't, maybe Chronic Indigestion? I don't know. I don't remember if you get to keep that. I think maybe we decided that that was a little bit too powerful to allow people to keep as a level 1 character, so we made it so you actually have to achieve the means to get that thing that gives it to you again. But I don't remember. You might be able to keep it. You would think that I would. See, a lot of these decisions were made 6 months ago, and so I just don't remember. The Fearsome Phantom says, when I take 10 meat out of the guy's ear as a test at the League of Chef Magi, I don't actually get 10 meat. Can I, please? Yeah, you're just wanting 10 free meat. Don't beg.
Hey, you have to hand the meat back over.
Oh, do you?
To the trainer, yeah.
Does it say that?
No.
Oh, well, it should. Yeah. Let's make it say that. Cryptic Angel says, probably spoilery, in the... Okay, Cryptic Angel, I'm going to answer your question by saying, God damn it, this isn't going to make any sense to anybody except this one person if I don't say what they're talking about. I'll make it so you can mouse over those things that clicking on them gets rid of them, if you're in the muscle zone. I'll make it so you can mouse over them and see what kind of thing they are, if they're not already like that. Xenophobe actually wrote a pretty seriously cool additional interface to that makes it a lot easier to do. It gives you some confirmation boxes about yanking stuff out of the ground if you don't want to, that kind of stuff, which really should go on the fairly short-term list of projects to do. Arcone says, is there some formula to ultra rares, or is it just a simple 1 out of 1,000 chance? It's not just a simple chance. It's a simple chance combined with a formula that determines their availability. And it's not so much a formula as a mechanism. Which is not so much a mechanism as a construct.
Which is not so much a construct as a matrix.
It's true, but everything is a matrix. Teen Rocker says, Dear Chick and Mr. Skullhead, I recently did a history project on creating your own nation, and I themed it on the kingdom. I received an A+ for unique style. I give you credit, by the way. Well, you know, the credit is all you for your unique style, but thank you for being inspired by us. Reading some more. Cheeky Jez, what's the plan for next month? Much needed holiday. There's no rest for the wicked. Or the wicked cool. Clubber's Leet says, I really like the custom outfit feature. Would you consider creating a custom diet option where we could create a sort of menu of food and booze items that would be consumed from, and then nothing else? Maybe that's because I'm at the bottom of the... Oh, our inventory, if they are present, but with a click of a single button. Would this result in fewer server hits, less button clicking for players, and less lag overall? The multi-eat thing is a little... We'll look at it. Yeah.
So you're talking about having people be able to make a menu that they can just like use the menu, and as long as they have all those items in their account, and as long as it doesn't push them over the full, they just eat all of those automatically?
Yeah, I think that's what the idea is.
Hmm.
Broccoli Soup asks if we can please close with They Might Be Giants Fingertips one of these days, probably. Hey, CJC433 is the first person who's actually noticed one of these that I've seen. Thank you for the new Hammer Time adventure. It's awesome. Yeah, a lot of the early zones, a lot of those adventures and monsters change into different things depending on which... really, it's dependent on whether you're in sort of an even or odd incarnation, so that you don't just lose the ability to see stuff on. But, yeah, there'll be more and more of that. Garland says there you feel like they're getting the short end of the stick shoved up their asses with the muscle area. Although there he's saying that that's only the case compared to the moxie area. I mean, I think this is going to be a thing where, you know, it's all about your style of play that determines which one of those is the one you want to go to.
When you think about it, the moxie area, the items you get in there are, you really only need to do that once.
That's true.
Whereas the muscle, it would take 3 or 4 ascensions to see everything that's in there. And you still might miss something.
Aldous is saying he was beginning to think there were no Tom Lehrer references in the kingdom until he fought an alphabet giant. Tom Lehrer is one of your things, right?
Yeah.
Who is Tom Lehrer?
He wrote a bunch of satirical, kind of funny songs in the 60s, like late 50s and 60s, but he also wrote for the Electric Company, that kids show. And he wrote the song Silent E.
Didn't he write Hey You Guys?
No, I think that belongs to the Ages.
I see. Sai says, will you give a quick shout out to Fungo the Mildly Annoying, who ascended a second time super quick? Yes. There were actually, when I looked, there were like 14 people who had done it, but he did it way way quicker than everybody else. Fungo, I likes me some Fungo the Mildly Annoying. We met him at KOL Con Carne. Cool guy. Who's got the bird shrieking in the background, says Aubrianne. Do you have birds shrieking in the background?
I have birds in the background, but I can barely hear them.
Yeah, I haven't noticed anything either. Dark Arconio says, how about a link in your profile saying you've got a storage space at Hank's? Actually, I think what we've done is, and this is on the dev server for just verification that it's working before I roll it out, because I was actually in the middle of doing that when the show started. Now, when you're in Ronin, the word Ronin will be a link to Hank's, which is handy, I guess, for people. Buffing Slave says, do you intend that players will eventually be able to finish KOL, or will there always be something that remains undone? Is it open-ended? Well, to a certain extent. I mean, the way it stands now, I feel like the overall narrative arc is done, and anything we add is probably just going to be, you know, little sub-things, you know?
And we've got some unresolved subplots. We have some penguins to deal with. And
That's true.
Plus, we can always just make shit up, which is kind of cool.
That's very cool. I mean, you know, you will be able to finish it, you know, because, I mean, beating the sorceress is finishing it, but, you know, my goal is a game with effectively infinite replayability.
And itty-bitty living space.
Hmm?
And itty-bitty living space as well.
What? I don't get it.
Anyway. Infinite testing ability. Itty-bitty living space.
DeCyclops says, in regards to the lag, is it on the web servers, the PHP module, or the MySQL servers? It is on it is really only on the primary MySQL server that the problem is. And yeah, we're looking at stuff. I mean, the lag hurts my soul way worse than it hurts yours, whoever you are. And it's something that I am fully committed to devoting a lot of time and resources and money to solving. And now I feel like I can. You know, we're gonna be making some changes. I've got the guys on the dev server hammering on some changes to the mall. We're gonna try and make that a little more efficient, get it over onto the other server, and make some changes that are probably going to bug some people. But I think that'll be good for lag overall. So you'll see what happens there. Every time I say something like that, it just generates pages and pages and pages of speculation in the forums. Aldous says, is ancestral storage immune to attacks in PvP? Yes, it is. Crimbo Dud says, just wondering, could you tell me the first item you implemented in the game? I just want to know. I believe item number one is the Seal Clubbing Club. The first item I drew. Huh. That's a good question. Why don't you answer a question or two while I look at this?
Sure.
Just for my own edification.
Let's see. Aldous asks, to follow the TAM and the Maypole, will there eventually be an item allowing non-attacking familiars a degree of attacking ability? That's not a bad idea, although a lot of the early Mr. Store familiars relied on giving non-attack familiars a degree of attacking ability, so we'll have to figure out a way to do that that doesn't just make those retroactively worthless. Fineldar says, Dear Mr. Skullhead, there should be a yellow snow cone, Cook Lemon, and an abominable snow cone. No, there shouldn't. This is not Jackass, this is Kingdom of Loathing. We're very much more highbrow, and if you don't believe me, just run like 10 or 20 adventures in the Haiku Dungeon.
I'm kind of a jackass.
Yeah, but you're not like the lighting your farts on fire, eating the yellow snow cone.
Yeah, that's true.
Jackass, like Jackass the TV show.
Right. Matrix Michael says, You were speaking about the porn movie Deep Throat on the 23rd. 1 week later, the guy revealed himself. Coincidence? I don't know, do you think?
The guy actually didn't reveal himself. Somebody finally figured it out.
Oh, really?
I think Vanity Fair magazine posted who he was, and they had always said that they would take the secret to the grave. You know, Woodward and Bernstein said they would take the secret to the grave with them, and the guy was 91 years old, and he looked like he took the secret 95% of the way to the grave.
Yeah, and that was what the Onion man on the street thing said, right?
Oh, right, yeah. I'm not clever. I just read.
Oh no! I mean, I was wondering if you had seen that. Also, I wasn't trying to like bust you for. It looks like the first thing I drew was some key that I never used, and then another like a car key. And then after that, I drew a spray can, and then the map that I used for all the map graphics, and then one of the scrolls, and then a skewer, and then a key ring, which then didn't get implemented for like. Yeah, I must have drawn another one of these. And a lucky rabbit's foot that I drew and a rubber duck. I'm looking at the stuff that I drew on the very first page of drawings that I made before I had written a single line of code for Kingdom of Loathing. Just kind of, I got like a guy with an umbrella, and I got what looks like some people wearing rabbit hats. I don't know what I was doing there. Guy with nunchucks, and then all the knob goblins. And yeah, the macaroni and some vampire, which I think I used later, and the clover, and then 8 different attempts to draw a piece of meat before the one that actually looks like meat. This is fascinating. Me looking at a piece of paper and telling you about what's on it.
It really
is.
Good. Yeah.
It's good. Darkbladed says, can you have a yearly event on Ascension Day when there's a bonus zone or a special drop in multi-zones? Huh, I don't know. That might be kind of a neat holiday.
Yeah, stick around for a year and see.
Your idea to make in-game hints would work well with the Hermit's Fortune cookies, says Clubber's Lead. Yeah, that was, you know, that's one thing. Zamfir Zam says, what percentage of the kingdom has ascended? Let's look. There have been 5,884 ascensions. So, 4% so far is all. Seymour Agu says, Jick, do you mean play devil's advocate? Do you think playing devil's advocate is the opposite of giving someone the benefit of the doubt?
I don't think so.
Let's see. Sorry, I'm not reading through. We've got so many questions and so little time left, sort of, that I'm just going to stall a lot.
Yeah. How is that going to help the problem?
I'm not entirely sure. Wigglebutt says, since adventuring in the Pirate's Cove in disguise can get you drunk, and you have to do that for a quest item, what happens to teetotal ascenders there? You don't get that particular adventure that gets you drunk. We were pretty careful about this. Although, if somebody can confirm that we fucked up on the thing with the stuff, being able to adventure in the tavern, then I'll look at that. But I think it's not broken. I think you can't go there when you're on one of those paths. Selden says, now that we have 10 to the 23rd chat channels, have you made any progress on colors? I would like to listen to the Ascension channel, but it's too much. I actually wrote the script I didn't write the script. I copied my generic Kingdom of Loathing script template to a script called Account Colors that I was going to start working on that. I actually figured out a relatively painless way of doing it, I think, and that's something... hell, I might just start working on that after I get off the radio here, because I actually would find it pretty useful myself to have that. Yeah.
So that would be something that is that changes on the player side as opposed to the kingdom side, where the players can select different colors for different channels.
Yeah, you'll be able to go into your account menu, and then it'll just kind of give you a list of your. A list of the chat channels that you have access to, and a little drop down where you can pick a color, and then it'll let you set it to either nothing, like default green, or any number of colors that we decide to specify in there. And so if you want all of them to be one color except for clan or whatever, you can do that. If you want whatever, you can have whatever. If you want this, that, and the other, you can have this and the other, but not that. Looking again. An evil twin is saying you can't search for this specific thing in the mall, but yes, you can if you put quotes around it. There's a missing quotation mark somewhere in Valhalla, and at Hank's there is a spelling mistake. No.
I think I noticed that one in Valhalla, but I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah. XYM says, Jick, what are spades, hearts, diamonds, and clubs? Do a search for players who suit muds. That's an article by Bartle. Richard Bartle? Yeah. Or perhaps Rick James. Wouldn't that be funny if Richard Bartle and Rick James had done some kind of collaborative effort? Is it be Bartle and James, like the wine coolers?
Oh, right. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Anyway, it was this guy who wrote this thing about the different personalities of people who played multiplayer games. And it's an interesting way of thinking about the different motivations that people have. You might have also seen this in other places if people list percentages that they are of achiever, explorer, socializer, and killer. Those are diamond, spade, heart, club, respectively.
So when we talk about stuff that we put in for the hearts, like the gift shop, that's for a heart of somebody who the most important aspect of the game is socialization. So it's something that people can give each other as a friendly thing, and it's not really useful if you're trying to just get the best stuff. So it's more for hearts than for some of the other suits.
Diamonds are people who want the best stuff and or want to be on leaderboards. Spades are people who are more interested in the figuring out how the game works and understanding stuff and knowing stuff than necessarily being successful at the game. And clubs are people who like to kill each other PvP. And you can see that Kingdom of Loathing is there's sort of a deficit of club content because that's probably the method of play that is the most foreign to my way of thinking. I am definitely in the spade camp. Myself.
I am a heart. I very much more enjoy making the puzzles than solving them, and I like hanging out in the chat. I'm a less than three.
Fineldar is suggesting the Babblefish as a familiar. I don't know. That seems like more of a thing for our sci-fi effort. Let's see. Xenophobe says, signs are not being displayed on Ascension histories. They should be now. I believe I fixed that today. Let's see. Yes, says Lusty Pirate Wench, the link on Ascension History works now. Thank you. You're welcome now. Thank you. Psy says it depends on the sorority they are in reference to our whether or not the Orcish sorority girls were hot. Madame Defarge says, don't make me take my sorority paddle off the wall and come out there. Greeks are okay people, too. Yeah, Greeks are fine. I don't have any problem with actual Greeks. It's just those frat bastards that I don't like.
I have to say that I don't like judging people without having a full experience of them, and I did have a couple of classes as an undergrad where I was probably the only person in the class who wasn't in a fraternity or sorority, and so I kind of kept an eye on them to see what kind of people they actually were, and to a man and woman, they just completely fulfilled every stereotype I held about fraternities and sororities. So maybe I just got a bad batch, but that, you know, this is my prejudice against sororities and fraternities is not just based on hearsay.
My first ever experience with frat boys, when I went to my freshman year of college at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, the original Bjorn and I were, I don't know, I should just keep saying Bjorn, but then people think I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
That was a mess in the beginning. That was ridiculous. Anyway, he and I were walking down the sidewalk past this frat house, and these frat boys on the balcony just like spit on us, and then we're like laughing and giving each other five because they spit on some nerds, and I was just like, huh. I'm thinking I don't like frat boys. And then nothing ever happened that made me feel any better about them. Pretty much every weekend, all you heard, I don't know why this was. I don't know how it was that I could see how it could always be the case that somewhere on a given weekend in 1994, there would be that remix of that Four Non Blondes song playing really loudly.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't get is how not only could you always hear that if you were in the right place, you could always hear it no matter where you were. Somehow one frat party was always playing that song, and somehow the one that was playing that song was always the one that had their music turned up the loudest.
Hmm.
I mean, and it's not like that's a terrible song, but it's like, play some different songs or something, you know? I'm like,
it's,
I mean,
certainly much more obnoxious than the original.
Say what you will about, like, hippies, but at least they sometimes listen to the Grateful Dead, and sometimes they listen to Fish. You know, there's, like, different modes. There's a little bit of variety there, but, like, frat boys, all they do is listen to that one song. Every single frat... Of course, now I suppose it's just they listen to nothing but, what, like, Linkin Park and...
50 Cent.
That's... No, I guess Linkin Park is... I'm getting old, so I tend to think of, like, music from, like, 2 years ago as modern, you know, contemporary music, even though
yeah,
it's not.
They're all listening to Lifehouse because they're trying to get laid.
Isn't Lifehouse even sort of further gone than Linkin Park?
No, they have a new single that's being played every 10 minutes on the radio.
What about Hoobastank? How do you feel about Hoobastank?
I think my feelings about Hoobastank are kind of enfolded in the name of the band, so
yeah.
Don't really have to discuss that.
My mom likes Hoobastank. You better not let on like you... Or not let on like you don't like him.
I think she likes My Sweet Lovin' more than she likes Hoobastank.
Yeah, I guess you know, if she felt more comfortable admitting her her love to me, she would not hide the evidence of her sweet lovin' from you the way she doesn't hide her Hoobastank album. I'm not entirely sure where I started going with that sentence, but I'm relatively sure it derailed in the middle.
Yeah, so Dumpier73 says, Dear Jake and Mr. Scully, do you think it will ever be possible to change a character name slightly but keep the same account? I wish I hadn't put the 73 on the end of my name. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Sorry, Matt. I mean, don't, like, I don't know. Why did you put... I always assume when I see somebody with numbers on the end of their name that... they did that because they wanted their original name without the numbers was already taken. But, I don't know. Swordmaster9944, speaking of which, says, will you ever make a slash hardcore for the players that went hardcore to brag about their accomplishments? I could see making a slash hardcore for people who complete a hardcore ascension, but not for people who enter into a hardcore ascension, because that's... doesn't cost anything in terms of time to enter into a hardcore ascension, because you can immediately, you know, you can immediately drop out of it. Meat Smith Man says, what is the next thing that will be added to KOL? Probably full screen pop-up ads for porn sites.
Mm. And make them so you can't disable them from the taskbar too, because that's an important part of your full screen ads for porno sites.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been looking at the KWE stuff, and that may be ready to go pretty quick here. Now that everybody's in Ronin.
That's true. let's see. Wigglebot says, would there be any way to send a Villa Doc to someone in Hardcore so they could actually use it without having to wait to ascend again and thus gain access to their packages? I think you want to gain access to their packages. Ha, ha.
Don't encourage Wigglebot, man.
Yeah, I know. yes, I know Villa sucks. Yeah. And,
No, I wasn't going to say anything of the sort.
No, Wigglebot says, yes, I know Villa sucks. I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say. Just wait until they're out of it. I'll be able to get it and use it. Java Joe says, I would like to submit a petition for more Family Guy references. Heh, ass and a half, ha. I didn't actually realize that was a Family Guy reference. I've long talked about things in terms of being half-assed or quarter-assed. If you do half as much effort as a half-ass effort, it's quarter-assed.
There's at least one Family Guy reference in there, in the south of the border.
One deliberate and specific one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, just that in this speech explaining it.
Yeah.
I just, right before the show, I watched yesterday's episode of Family Guy, the fourth or fifth new episode from the new season, and it was seriously probably one of the funniest episodes of that show I've seen. I've been just really consistently impressed with the new stuff. I was kind of worried that it was going to suck, but we should hang out with Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
I think we would have fun. We did that. He would probably hate us because we're nerds. it has this is worse than the time I was hired to repaint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, and they pan up and Peter has painted over the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel with the face of Andre the Giant from the Andre the Giant Has a Posse sticker, which I just thought was pretty funny. And you know, there's a point where he just is giving somebody advice and he just plays an acoustic cover of Rock Lobster, and it doesn't go anywhere. Like, it just shows him playing, you know, a verse and the chorus, just slow. And I mean, a lot of what I like about Family Guy probably bothers other people about Family Guy. Like, one of my favorite moments from the series is when he, like, in one of the really early episodes, he bangs his knee, and then there's just, like, probably 10, 30 seconds of him going, I don't know. For some reason, I feel like it's funny when things go on way longer than they should.
Funny then not funny then funny again.
Yeah, exactly. But let's see. Primavera Angel Hair says, today is also Gorilla's 2D's birthday. Happy birthday, Gorilla's 2D. Tuffy says, how can we tell what effect our moon signs have? You can't. The moon signs are mysterious.
But it's all right. It's all right. It's all right that they move in mysterious ways.
It's true. You could climb the highest mountain. You could scale these city walls only to figure out what the moon signs do, and you still wouldn't be able to find what you're looking for.
So you too are making lame jokes.
You could,
as well as I.
You could not believe the news today. I don't remember any of the lyrics to Sunday Bloody Sunday. Does it start out, I can't believe the news today?
Yeah.
Okay, so I did. I got that one right.
The Muffin King says he ascended and hasn't seen any new areas. Depending on the new area, it may be in a zone you can't get at away.
Yeah, you might have to get up to level 4 or 5. Garland asked a question that I meant to read and kind of forgot about. Shit, now it's scrolled off the screen. Anyway, basically what he asked, I hope it was Garland, because otherwise I'm just confusing people. Right, an Armax system. This is kind of funny. He thinks that he accidentally wasted a couple days getting through the dark and dank and sinister cave, and then realized that it is actually not required. And that is true. The cave quest is not required. In order for the council to give you the sorcerer's quest. Everything else they give you is, but the cave quest is going to be moving to another, but totally optional, big line of quests. So, sorry if you've wasted a lot of time going through the cave for any other reason than getting the reward, because that is not necessary in a run through the game. You don't have to beat the nemesis in the cave.
Which is weird, because every other quest that the council gives you, you have to...
Yeah, it's just that we knew when we were going through this that we were going to... The council is not going to be giving you that quest. Like, that quest is going to be part of a long string of quests that you get from your guild.
Ah.
And so we didn't want the guild quests to be required in order to get the sorceress quest at the end. So since we knew we were going to move that, we just made it not count in the list of things that will prevent you from having the sorceress quest assigned to you when you go there. Armax says, I noticed that warning spoiler ahead about the Dark Tower, and wondering if it's a coincidence. I thought that I couldn't actually talk to anybody about it because of the people that I know who you know, me and Skullhead and Boozer Bear, who were really into the Dark Tower series, and in the middle of working on Ascension, I finished the books first. And so I couldn't really talk to anybody about it, but yeah, it is kind of an uncanny coincidence. I mean, this was always the plan way before we actually read Dark Tower 7. So I don't know. Yeah, it was, I guess great minds just run in similar ruts. Did you ever finish it, Mr. Skullhead?
Yeah, I did. We talked about that for a while.
Did we?
I was pretty pleased with the way it turned out.
Yeah, but it was just kind of interesting, you know. You go up to the top of the tower and sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought about being that cruel and making that conform a lot closer to the ending of the Dark Tower books, but we didn't really seriously talk about it because we don't like tar feathers and pitchforks.
What were we thinking about doing?
Yeah, you know, stuff.
I don't remember. We'll have to talk about it. See, I drink a lot, kids, and I forget sometimes when I have conversations with people.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, amazing Lupa. No. Not gonna. That's it.
A lot of people are suggesting we use the old business cards as blank white cards, and we would, but they're printed on both sides.
Yes, they are printed on both sides. Let's see. Gulo says, just curious, why does the pail look like a basket sans weaving? It's upside down. Look at it upside down. I probably should just redraw the pail. Jick, are you okay? Says Meatsmith Man. Are you okay? Are you okay, Jick? Jick, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?
Jick, are you okay? Could you tell us if you're okay?
Apart from having been hit by a smooth criminal, speaking of which... Yeah. What do you think? Do you think Michael Jackson was guilty?
I don't give a shit.
I mean, really? Like, because the situation bothers me a little bit because, I really feel like we should either just acknowledge that you're not subject to laws if you have a lot of money, or we should execute OJ and jail Michael Jackson. You know?
I honestly think that regardless of what the truth is, the prosecution did an ass poor job of presenting their case.
I mean, they might have also picked the wrong person to level the accusations, you know?
Yeah, it appears that regardless of what that woman was really like, the defense was able to present her as just kind of a money-grubbing crackpot. So, I don't know one way or the other. You know, I never was in the room with him when he was touching or not touching children. So, I don't think we can be angry at the jury because the prosecution really did fail to make their case.
Well, all right. I don't know. It's like, he's, even from the facts that did come out, it's like he's guilty of being creepy enough that if he was anybody else, he would be in jail.
But we don't want to have him, we don't want to have the rule be, if you're accused of a crime and you're really creepy, then you get convicted.
Either. No, I suppose not. But I mean,
I'm really creepy, and that doesn't mean that I molest little kids, you know.
I mean, do we want to make it the rule that just, like, being able to hire better lawyers than, you know, the state or county or city that's prosecuting you just makes you immune?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel like that's a...
No, that's not a very good idea.
I don't feel like that's a very good way of doing it either. there should be public, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on the public floggings.
Yeah, no, seriously. let's see. We got to get some more. I'm running out of steam again. We're having low points in this show. It's, Madame Defarge says, I didn't have any exams, but I called into work sick on Ascension Day. Damn you sick bastards and your perversive thinking as to destroying the economy. I actually heard a few people say that.
That blows me back a little bit. I'm impressed.
Trouble says, Crystal Blue Persuasion is not an 80s tune. It's a 60s tune by Tommy James and the Shondells.
Wow. Huh. I would swear that there was an 80s cover of that at least.
Mm-hmm. The NARPA says, you talk on occasion about a sequel and just then about your next RPG. How long do you figure KOL will live? 2 years? 10? The rest of your life? Your thoughts on this? I'll keep it up indefinitely, even if I decide to stop working on it. I probably won't stop working on it. A lot of people, including Darkbladed, say, I love the Onadeus reference. I'm pretty impressed with that, too, Mr. Spillhead.
I'm pleased that came across.
Some of your finest work in that stuff. So, Scully says, Lusty Pirate Wench, what do you think about Philanthropist's new Wings of a Dove avatar and his SIG in the forums? I didn't see one that was about you. I think I saw one that was about me. Do you know which one she's talking about?
I think that if I allow myself to be riled by anything Philanthropist does, that the terrorists have already won.
That's kind of true.
No, I like Phil a lot, and I'm sure that any shit-talking is just good-natured shit-talking, so I don't really care.
Okay. Zim is asking if our moms listen. No. Meat Smith Man, who would win in a fight between Jake and Scully? What kind of fight? What's the,
If it was a beer drinking fight, Jake would win.
If it was a tiny penis having fight, Mr. Skullhead would win.
If it involved any sort of physical violence, I would probably win because I'm a big old wuss. But Jake is an even bigger, older wuss.
That's true.
Neither of us have a real high capacity for pain, but high tolerance for pain, but mine's slightly higher.
Queekle says, tisk, 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 Jake and Scully, you both should know that the frog suit was the second best suit in the game. It lets you jump high and swim perfectly without repeatedly tapping A. The best was the Tanuki suit because, hey, what's a Tanuki?
The more you know, Tanuki is a character in Japanese folklore. It's a raccoon. It brings good luck. And his, like, traditionally, the Tanuki that people would have statues of on their doorsteps, etc., have giant testicles. Like, if you've seen the Red Riding Hood Japanese commercial with the raccoon with the giant balls, that's a Tanuki. But they emasculated him for the Tanuki suit because you can't have a kid's game with giant balls.
But it doesn't even turn... When you turn into a statue, you don't... It's like a statue of an old, bald version of Mario. It's not even a statue of the raccoon guy.
Yeah, but that's the basic idea. Ah, Culture Club covered Crystal Blue Persuasion.
I see. And, you know, I friggin' timed out again. I really ought to not set it up so that this happens. Yeah, let me reload the messages here. Yeah, getting right on that. And scrolling down to where they were. Hey, says Kisa, no spoiling the Dark Tower series. Let's see. I tried not to spoil it.
Yeah.
Looking for, let's see, somebody asking what my middle name is. You'll never know.
You know, Skipperick and Zlania and them just found that out recently.
They just found out my middle name?
Yeah.
Why were they?
Huh?
Why did that come up?
Oh, because at some point, like, your phone wasn't working, and so I said your full name as, you know, like, the...
Oh, yeah.
The being angry.
No, I mean, my middle name is not really a big secret. My middle name is Ewing.
I prefer to think of it as Ewing. It's like one of the Star Wars ships.
The one that didn't quite make the thing. The NARPA says, it occurs to me, what was the reasoning behind scaling the sorceress? It seems a little arbitrary. Well, I mean, since we didn't want to cook her with all the scales on it, we needed to get it. You know, the reason for scaling the sorceress was because everyone had been waiting for so long for that fight that we wanted to just make sure it was challenging to everyone, you know, that it was interesting and not just this total, like, letdown that you'd been waiting to finish this quest for 6 months and you're level 30 and, you know, now
beat her with one hit.
Beat her with one hit, yeah, I mean, that's sucks. So, like I said, I mean, the reasoning that's been presented by the guys on the testing team who are suggesting that we make it so that she stops scaling at a certain point once you're going through again, like, we just make her, like, a level 15 monster or something on your second time through, that's maybe okay, just so it's not. Matrix Michael says, where can we find the test to find out whether we are a heart, spade, club, or diamond? I believe that if you just do a Google search for Bartle test, B-A-R-T-L-E, I'll check that. Bartle test. Let's see.
Oh, those handy bastards in the forum thread have actually linked to the original article.
Oh, have they?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, if you do a Google search for Bartle test, and actually I believe just hit I'm Feeling Lucky, it's the very first one, it's called The Bartle Test. You can, a lot of the questions are a little mud-centric, but most of them will apply to Kingdom of Loathing. And, it's interesting. A lot of people reporting that you can keep chronic indigestion. Max Demian says, you said we can't keep Liver of Steel, can we keep blank of blank? No, you can't keep any of those, Max. And then also reports that you can keep chronic indigestion. Yeah. Okay, so I was like, guess I didn't. Matrix Michael says, hey, you guys saved my iPod. No songs would play on my iPod, but I played one of your shows and had no problem since. I just have to not play any Led Zeppelin anymore, lol. Yeah, don't play Led Zeppelin, play us instead. I actually filled my iPod up with our shows, too, because really listening to myself talk is the next best thing to having sex with myself, which is something that I, you know, very much enjoy. But you can't do that all the time, you know?
No, you at least have to switch hands every now and again.
Yeah. And penises.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Somebody saying, yeah, that would be great if Rick James was still alive. I knew Rick James was dead.
Rick James was the original Super Freak.
It's true.
See, I like that reference much better than Rick James, bitch. Okay.
Sean Clannery was who said that. Magical Marinara says, what is your favorite aspect of KOL? Example, adventures, chat, clans. I don't know, the item descriptions. That's my favorite aspect of KOL. What about you?
I think, let's see, playing through again now, I don't know, the clan hall... The clan functionality is quite groovy. But, you know, I'm all about the chat.
That's true. We need to focus a little more on the clan stuff and give people a little more options in there, I think.
Yeah. So give me one more question that we can go out with a bang and hand off to iSpeculum.
Okay. Looking. Garland says, crap, is there any way for me to salvage this hardcore Oxygenarian run? I spent about 3 days on the Nemesis quest, and up until now I thought I had a shot at doing this HC Oxygenarian Ascension in hard in a good time. Unless this somehow helps me get to the tower faster, my dreams have been torpedoed. Well, you know, your first hardcore Oxygenarian run is not going to put you... Well, actually, at this point it probably will put you on the speed leaderboards. You certainly won't stay there, but you will learn tricks from it that will make your next hardcore run even better. Like, I would say stick it out, Garland. I think it will be worth it to you to stay on the hardcore Oxygenarian path and finish that, because then you will understand why it's a good idea, even in terms of, you know, having cool stuff for your next run, to do Oxygenarian runs, because you'll see what you get at the end there.
Very true.
Yeah. That big enough bang?
I think so. It's kind of a medium-sized bang, which is good. Good bang for the buck.
All right. Well, everybody, I guess that's the show for this week, and we'll talk to you again in a week.
All right. See you on Monday, kids.